Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains August 15th through the 18th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all levels of professional baseball to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, the Tool Shed podcast has you covered with rankings, player analysis, and in-depth discussion. And now, here's your host, Eric Cross.
Welcome into another episode of the Tool Shed podcast, brought to you by Rotoballer. This is episode 407. Thank you for joining me. I'm your host, Eric Cross. You can find me on Twitter at EricCrossMLB, and the show is at Toolshed Pod. Second episode coming to you this week. Episode 406 came on a Monday. Went over some intriguing young hitters with Owen Hurd. So if you missed that, go back and check that out. And today we'll be diving into my August top 500 prospect rankings update. I meant to get this out last week, but just couldn't end up swinging the second episode schedule-wise, but wanted to get this episode in this week at least. I've already moved some of these guys around even further since that update, which I think I posted on the Patreon about 9-10 days ago at this point, but a really exciting update for, you know, this is always one of my more exciting ones, one of my favorite ones throughout the year, because you get to add in the recent draftees. And then obviously you'll add in more of the international guys, you know, in the offseason in January. So really exciting update. A lot of new names. I think I added 65-ish, give or take a few, FYPD guys into the 500 there, with the last one being Charles Davelin. So always fun to add in those guys. But a lot of moving. This has been a really fun minor league season. It's kind of starting to wind down a little bit here, but still plenty of ball to be played. Before we get into all the rankings, updates, and, you know, player discussion here, the usual housekeeping. If you enjoy the podcast, please rate and review wherever you listen. You can find all of my content either on Rotoballer or over on my Patreon, which is toolshedfantasy.com. And make sure to check out all of the great content over on Rotoballer with Rotoballer's MLB Premium Pass. Gain access to expert tools and advice from proven winners. Import your leagues with TeamSync and get expert advice customized for your league-specific settings. Win more with Rotoballer's lineup assistant tools, free agent finder, prop picks, and the number one DFS lineup optimizer. Our premium pass comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Go to rotoballer.com/radio and use the discount code TOOLSHED to get 10% off at checkout. All right, so we'll start before I get into some specific player discussion here. Let's go over my new top 25, and I'm even going to, you know, include some of the other movements here that I've done since the last update, so get a little bit of a sneak peek. Only a couple guys have jumped into the top 25 that weren't there, you know, a week or so ago when I put this update out, but new top 10, as I tweeted out the other day, I think there's a very clear-cut top tier, at least for me, top tier of fantasy prospects. I mean, real life prospect lists, you can go different ways, but I think for fantasy focused list, it's Connor Griffin, it's Kevin McGonigal. I think, you know, those are my two guys, 1-2. Then you got a couple pitchers, Chase Burns, Jacob Mizuraski, 3-4. Got a trio of shortstops, Sebastian Walcott, Leo DeVries, and I bumped JJ Weatherholt up a few spots here to number 7. Two more shortstops, Jesus Madé, Luis Peña, sticking the top 10 at 8 and 9. Semi Basayo at number 10. Then you got a massive outfield glob here, 11 through 15, with Walker Jenkins, Eduardo Quintero, Zaire Hope, Max Clark, and Josue De Paula. Jose Briseño, 16. The red hot Luke Kuechel has bumped up into the 17 spot. That's another one that's moved up since my last update. A couple of Seattle guys, Cole Emerson, Michael Arroyo, back-to-back 18-19. Thomas White, the new number one lefty for me, is in the 20 spot, number three overall pitching prospect. And then four more outfielders, Spencer Jones, Lazaro Montes, Carson Benj, and Edward Florentino. I was kind of combining both the first and last name there. And then Andrew Painter rounds at the top 25 with my boy Chase DeLauder at 26. I didn't bump him down too far. He had to go down a little bit, but definitely still love Chase DeLauder. Just can't freaking stay healthy. Dude, stay healthy, Chase. That's all I ask for. Give me a healthy season, but we'll see. All right. So I think the two biggest risers, at least in that grouping that I just mentioned, were Edward Florentino, who jumped up from 121 into the top 25, and Carson Benj, who was 70 in my July update, up into the top 25 as well. We'll start with Florentino here, who I wrote the other day on Rotoballer that, you know, obviously the crown jewel is Connor Griffin. He's number one prospect for a lot of people now. But Florentino is doing his best, you know, his best impersonation of doing like being like the Robin to Connor Griffin's Batman. In 71 games between the complex level and low A, we're looking at 14 home runs, 31 steals, 288, 403, 547 slash line, 14.5% walk rate, 21.5% strikeout rate. So although he's, you know, been running wild in both the complex and especially in low A, where he has 25 steals in 42 games, only been caught three times, and for the season, 31 out of 35. I don't think Florentino's going to be this massive speed threat. You know, he's not a, you know, he's not a burner by any means, but the high efficiency and just the high motor, just wanting to steal all the time, that's definitely going to play into it. But I do think he's more like in the teens for steals long-term as opposed to like this 25-30-plus guy. But I like the bat a lot here. I mean, he's already got 14 home runs, 17 doubles in 71 games. You know, he's got nearly, actually, yeah, just under half of his hits have been for extra bases, 33 out of 70 have gone for extra base hits so far. You know, good swing decisions here. You know, draws walks at a, you know, very good clip. I mentioned 14.5%, and contact is there as well. He's around 80% this year. And that's even ticked up so far in high A. You know, swing and strike rates under 8% this season, and there's above average raw power. I think right now with room for more. I think this could be, you know, a 55 hit, 60 power type that gives you double digit steals as well. So he might not be Connor Griffin, but this is still a damn good offensive prospect. He'll be 18 for the entirety of this season. Doesn't turn 19 for about another 3 months now, middle part of November. Really, really exciting blend of skills here. And I think you could be looking at a guy that, especially if he continues running, you know, at a, maybe not even this clip, but at a solid clip next year as well, while continuing, you know, to show this level of contact, you know, approach, power. You could be looking at Edward Florentino as a guy that's pushing top 10. I mean, he's already top 25 for me. I was just talking about him. I recorded an episode of Prospect One with Chris Welsh earlier this evening. This is Wednesday night. It's about 9 p.m. right now. I recorded with him a few hours ago, and we talked about Florentino on that show as well. So I don't know. I think that's coming out today as you're listening to this on Thursday. So check out that episode of Prospect One with Welsh as well. We talked about Florentino there too. So I think he's going to be a guy that's going to be a bigger helium guy in the offseason. I mean, he already is, but yeah, I think top 10 at some point, you know, especially when you get some graduations here, I don't think that's out of the question. All right, the other one, Carson Benj. You know, I didn't even have a chance to see him. He kind of flew through double A. He's already up to triple A. You know, the Mets promoted him, Jet Williams, Jonah Tong, and Ryan Clifford all at the same time from double A to triple A Syracuse. That's really exciting. You know, Benj is one of those prospects, and it's not a direct comp, but this reminds me of like Matt Shaw, where Shaw, even though he was highly ranked, and so was Benge, you know, Shaw wasn't like the super buzzy, you know, loud, sexy prospect, whatever, you know, word you want to use there, because he didn't have that one standout tool. It was just more of a, hey, every kind of part of the profile offensively is pretty good without being a standout tool. And that's kind of where we were at with Carson Benge as well. In 93 games across three levels, he just played his first game the other night in AAA. Looking at a 308, 414, 511 slash line, 12 home runs, 19 steals, 24 doubles, 6 triples, a lot of extra base hits there. It's 42 extra base hits in 93 games, 12 home runs, 19 steals, 14.3% walk rate, and a 17.6% strikeout rate. And you've got even better. Like, you know, the numbers in high A were good. 302, 417, 480 is nothing to scoff at. But they got even better in just 32 games in double A. He had twice as many home runs as he did in 60 games in high A. He had 8 home runs in double A, 12.4% walk rate, 15.9% K rate, 317, 407, 571 slash line. I mean, with Benge, he's, I think, one of the more advanced bats in the minor leagues right now. He's had a strikeout rate, excuse me, not strikeout rate, that'd be insane, to have a K rate above 80%, a contact rate above 80% this season. Swing and strike rates right around 8% as well. And those, again, those are even higher in double A. You know, he's been right around 80% everywhere. It's a really good contact bat, really good approach, as I already mentioned, with the walk and strikeout rates. So this is, I'd say this is a plus hit tool. Now, some might say above average. I say it's plus when you combine in swing decisions. He doesn't chase at a high clip either. You know, you can put the bat on the ball, draw walks, keep the K rate in check. All that put together, I think it's a plus hit tool. And I think it's a, you know, average to above average raw power and speed. He might not ever be a 25 homer guy or a 25 steal guy, but this is a guy that I think could flirt with or exceed 2020 annually. I think he's going to be in that, like, in that range, give or take a little bit out of the way. So, really, just a really good all-around profile. I mean, you know, solid upside, high floor, proximity, AAA now. I wouldn't 100% rule it out that we see him with the Mets by end of the season, though obviously earlier 2026 debut is probably more likely. But I like the all-around profile. I think, you know, top 25 was a little bold maybe, but I'm fully in on Benge, and the profile warrants, you know, being that in on him. And I'm seeing some other people kind of push him up pretty high as well. I know I saw a tweet by Zach Beck, who does great work over at the Dynasty Dugouts. You know, I saw him talk about how he has Benge in that top 25. I think he said top 25. Maybe I'm a little wrong, but I know he's super high on Benge as well. So, yeah, definitely very, very high on Benge here, and I would be definitely buying, you know, buy high. I don't think you quite need to spend a top 25 prospect price tag right now. So maybe you can get them for, you know, not the super elite price tag at the moment, but I would be looking to get as many shares of Carson Benge as I can. I think he's the best of all the Mets prospects right now. All right. Another guy, shifting over to Minnesota now, that I've been pushing up like 25, 30, you know, 35, 40 plus spots every update, it seems like. He's going to be top 50 soon. I got a good feeling about that. Kalen Culpepper of the Minnesota Twins. He was the 21st overall pick last year out of Kansas State. Nearly a $4 million signing bonus. Started the year in high A. You know, hit very well in high A, 293, 385, 479, excuse me, slash line there. 9 home runs, 15 steals, and 247 plate appearances. And again, he's just taken it to another level here in double A, 36 games at this level, 168 plate appearances, 8 home runs, 8 steals, 329, 393, 526 slash lines. Overall, 17 home runs, 23 steals in 90 games. He's another one where I think it's, you know, I think a pretty similar power speed range to Benge, where it's not super elite, but I think he could be average to above average power and also above average speed as well. And I think he's a guy that can absolutely stick at shortstop long term. We'll see. They have a lot of shortstop options in the system. They also just drafted Merrick Houston out of Wake Forest in this draft last month. So they have a lot of good long-term options here, but I think Culpepper has a very good chance of sticking at shortstop long-term. Maybe he has to move over to second. I'm not quite sure where he would, which spot he would kind of push to if needed to move off the position, but it's a really good all-around profile here. Like, you know, it's an above average, you know, hit tool as well. I mean, he's around 76% contact rate this year. He's got the good walk rate around 10%. K rate 17%. He's never had any level where he had a K rate above 18.3%. That was his highest mark. That was last year in 17 high A games. Again, not a profile where there's any loud tools, but you add all of the offensive parts together and it's a pretty good all around player. A guy that, you know, I don't know if he sees AAA before the end of the season, but if not, I would bank on him starting next year in AAA and probably being up before the All-Star break, maybe even sooner. We all know that Minnesota has a hard time staying healthy. So chances are they might need to call upon Kalen Culpepper a little bit sooner than the All-Star break next year. And he'll be 23 late December. So still, you know, not super old prospect either. High floor, good all-around profile. You know, I have him. Where did I bump him up to? It was, again, like I said, he's moving up and up. 65. He was up from 89 in. Actually, let's look at the progression. Not just because I mentioned that. So August update 65. He's already bumped up even a little bit more since that update. He's probably gonna be top 50. You know, by my September update, there's a good chance of that. So 65 in August. In July, I mentioned he was 89, and in June he was 186. See, it's just like a constant rise here. And yeah, June was 186. It didn't really move up much from May to June, but the last few months he just keeps jumping up and up and up. I wonder where I had him back like April, like early part of the season. I had Culpepper 211 in my April update. So jumped up a little bit mid-season, and then really the last few 3 months, last three updates, he's been a very big riser, and I'm very much in on Kalen Culpepper of the Minnesota Twins. Let's go over to the Giants. A couple of nice risers from the Giants system in my August update. Bo Davidson and Johnny Level. You could say Johnny's been taking this game to a whole new level this season. You know, sorry, the jokes write themselves sometimes. You know, both of them are now in my top 100 overall. Bo Davidson jumped from 117 to 87. And Johnny Level from 181 to 97, kind of in a fun little range there. You know, Arun Escobar's in that back end, the back like five of my top 100. Tyson Lewis is in there, Slade Caldwell. So that's kind of a really fun range of prospects right now. A lot of, you know, toolsy upside, you know, hitting prospects there. Bo Davidson, the story on Davidson is really good. I mean, he was just simply because he was undrafted in 2023. He was undrafted free agent, you know, signed with the Giants, and, you know, didn't really, I mean, he had a decent showing. It was only 16 games at Complex in 2023, but he's just been hitting outside of, you know, he's been slumping a little bit here in AA, but it's only 18 games. I'm not going to read too much into that, but Davidson's just really, he's hit everywhere he's gone. Last year was a pretty solid year in 63 games between Complex and Low A. Davidson had a 327, 437, 605 slash line, 11 home runs, 7 steals. And that kind of started bumping him up rankings for me later last season. But I'm like, all right, let's see how he does high A, double A this year. And high A was really good. 309, 412, 507 slash line, 10 home runs, 12 steals in 72 games. But again, he's only 239, 301, 328. But does have 2 home runs and 2 steals in 18 double A games. But I think Bo Davidson, it's going to be a name that just keeps rising and rising. Not a burner by any means, but he's a solid runner. He's always shown the willingness to run. You know, efficiency has been decent enough. He's 14 out of 19 this year. He was 12 out of 15 in high A, 2 out of 4 so far in double A. Probably a guy that's upper teens for steals. I think there's 20-plus homer power in the bat. I think he's above average to plus raw power guy. And he gets to it consistently. You know, he gets to that pull side at a solid clip. He has, you know, he's a high line drive rate as well. At a where's his line drive? He's a 29% line drive rate this year. That's really good. You know, overall air rate is pretty solid at, you know, closer to 60%. I mean, it's not elite by any means, but it's not bad either. And pull rate a little bit over 40%. So kind of hits the ball at solid angles as well. So I think he could be like a 20, you know, low to mid 20s homer bat, maybe even like upper 20s at, you know, at peak, you know, with double digit steals. And I think the, you know, approach and contact skills are decent enough. I mean, he's around 74% contact this year. You know, he's kind of right on average in that regard, but not like too much swing and miss. K rate's 22.5%, 13.5% walk rate for Bo Davidson. It's definitely, I think, continues to warrant consistent rise at my rankings, though. Maybe he falls down a little bit if he keeps struggling in double A, but it won't be like a massive drop. I think he's definitely top 100, at least in that discussion for sure. Johnny Level, a couple levels lower. Level is down in low A right now, just got there a couple of weeks ago. Has a 418 OBP, one home run, three steals in his first 11 games at low A. At the complex, he was really impressing. 288, 375, 493 slash line, nine home runs, 17 steals. You know, he had 23 extra base hits in 58 games. So about a third of his hits there were extra base hits. 12.5% walk rate, 15.3% K rate at that level. And he's one where the contact skills have taken a nice jump this year. He's been around like, you know, 78, 79% contact rate, you know, this year, maybe a little bit 77-ish percent at the complex, but keeps the swing and strike rate in check as well, around 9.5, 10% there. As I mentioned, like not a lot of strikeouts, has nearly as many walks as strikeouts this year. 13.6% walk rate to a 14.9% strikeout rate. And I think this also kind of like similar to Bo Davidson, not a big power speed guy, but I think this could be average to above average power and speed as well. And maybe, you know, he's still got some, you know, he's not a tall guy by any means. He's listed at 5'10". I don't know if he's a little bit taller than that. It's hard to tell, but definitely has some room to fill out that frame. So I think he could be an above average power guy with at least average speed and that solid blend of contact and approach as well. So Johnny Level, Bo Davidson, two San Francisco Giant guys that have been consistently rising for me. And I think they're hot commodities right now in the prospect world.
Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite to mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Last hitter, two more hitters to talk about, then a few pitchers, and then we'll kind of look at some of the FYPD guys where they slotted in as well. And again, all these rankings are all up on my Patreon. You know, got all the August rankings done, prospects, dynasty for average, dynasty for OBP, and redraft rankings as well. I already had FYPD rankings out. They have the draft, and we'll be updating those again soon, adding more write-ups, and obviously, you know, updating rankings as they warrant it. So those, again, toolshedfantasy.com. Link is in my Twitter bio as well. Greatly appreciate everyone's support on the rankings and all the content I've been putting out on the Patreon all season. Next hitter here. This guy didn't have like an actual like rise in the August update, but he's already started rising up again. Well, for the whole season, he's been a riser in general. And then he's he can jump a little bit more in the September update. That's Eduardo Tait of the Minnesota Twins. Went over from the Phillies along with Mick Abel in that trade for Yoan Duran. Pretty solid return there, you know, for Duran. Getting Tait, getting Mick Abel, who's up and down, but definitely has some talent. I think Tait is going to be, I mean, he's already, you know, a top 10 catching prospect for fantasy for most people at this point, but I think you could be truly looking at one of like the next like tier one elite catching prospects for fantasy purposes. Numbers this year have been solid. They don't blow you away. 256, 317, 437 slash line, 13 bombs in 91 games. Already has two in nine games in high A since being acquired by the Twins. Overall, 16 games at the level, only the two home runs. But holding his own, 270 average, 459 slug. Now, the issue with Tait is he's pretty aggressive. I mean, the power's always been there, and he's kind of shown that. This is a plus power guy. You know, maybe a guy, when it's all said and done, is a double plus power guy. Like, you know, it's not very often where I say a catcher has 30 homer potential. Eduardo Tait has 30 homer potential. You know, it's hard to say if he'll get to that level. It's a catcher. Not many get there. But he definitely has, you know, some of the best raw power potential in the whole minor leagues, not just a catcher, but specifically a catcher for sure. But outside of the power, there was a lot of questions on where does the hit tool wind up? You know, where are the contact skills going to be at? And he's answered some of those questions. Not all of them, but some. You know, you look at, you know, in addition to the big-time power, he's kept the strikeout rate in check, 19.1% this year, with a contact rate around 77%. So that's pretty damn good on both accords. But again, he's still very aggressive. Swing rate about 56% this year, though it has, you know, it's come down a little bit, you know, throughout the season, it looks like. But, you know, especially come down from like 2023, he was like a 70%+ swing guy. Like, he's super aggressive. So it has gotten a little better, but, you know, still, you know, a little bit of a lower walk rate, you know, though 7.8%. Not terrible. It's up from 6.4% last year. You know, and last year he also had a little bit of a higher K rate that's come down a tad. So, and so definitely turning in the right direction. But, you know, as he gets to double A, triple A, closer to the majors, that aggressiveness will definitely be exploited by more advanced pitching. So you got to wonder how that looks a year from now. But if he can work on that, become a little bit more patient, you know, hunt out those pitches to drive, really, you know, get into that game power a bit more, you know, I think you could be looking at, again, an elite offensive catching prospect for fantasy purposes moving forward. All right, last hitter, and this one more of a faller, though still a good prospect, but Franklin Arias of the Boston Red Sox, you know, he's one of the better contact guys in the minor leagues. I don't think there's really any question about that. He's running a contact rate just a hair below 90% this season. You know, swinging strike rate's only like 5%. K rate is under 10%. It's 9.7%. So in all accords, like, you know, contact skills are 70 grade. I don't think there's any question about that. And it's not like this is like a new thing. He's always been high contact guy. Like last year, you know, it was around 77% last year, so it's gone up, but he's always been a good contact guy, and he's taken that to a whole new level this season. But outside of that, like, he doesn't walk a lot. 6.5% walk rate. You know, last year was 13.4%. So I'm kind of wondering, you know, where has all that patience gone? It's been over cut in half, that walk rate. And I don't see a lot of power speed here. Like at present, I mean, things can change, but I don't know if we see Arias reach 20 home runs or 20 steals like in a season. I mean, still some time left, still has some projection physically on the frame, but I just don't see that big power speed blend. So I think in fantasy focus rankings, that hurts him a bit. I mean, you got to love the contact skills, but this rest of the profile, you know, he's aggressive. He doesn't walk a lot. You know, when he puts the bat on the ball, it definitely helps, but I just don't see that lofty upside for fantasy purposes. So I've dropped him down. He's still top 100 for me, for sure. But at this point, I don't have him as a top 50 guy anymore. And I think people still think he's up there. Like the perceived value, I think, is still top 50 or even higher, because as I was putting out my, you know, as I do every month after my update, my top 500 update, I mean, I kind of put out like, oh, here are my updated top 10, top 12, whatever, at each position. And Arias did not make my top 12 shortstop prospects. People are like, oh, you know, Arias should be up there, blah, 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 blah. It was a lot of, you know, grumble about Franklin Arias. And no, I don't think for fantasy, it's the upside's not there for it. And I kind of bumped him too high, and then I've adjusted since then. But you know, he's a good prospect. And again, I'm not saying he's bad, but just the limited power speed blend is definitely a reason to not be, you know, full bore. Let's go all in on Franklin Arias here for fantasy purposes. I got three arms here before I get into the FYPD guys. I mean, I could have talked about like 80 guys here, but you want to keep it to an hour or less for the most part on this podcast. And it's always time to discuss these guys on further podcasts. But two pitching prospects that have been falling for me for similar reasons: Noah Schultz of the White Sox and Quinn Matthews of the Cardinals. And Schultz is on the IL right now. You know, he's been limited to just three starts in AAA, but 15 starts total this year, 68 innings. It's a 4.76 ERA, 1.71 WHIP, and the K to walk ratio has taken a nosedive this year. Last year, between high A and double A, 32.1% strikeout rate and a 6.7% walk rate. That had hit Schultz in, you know, tier one of pitching prospects this, you know, offseason entering 2025. Had him as, I think for most people, the number one lefty pitching prospect. And now that goes to Thomas White, at least for me, and I'm sure for many at this point, Thomas White. But the fact that his strikeout stuff has diminished, he's down to a 23.2% strikeout rate this season, and the walk rate has more than doubled, 14.4%. And that's not just a ABS AAA thing. It was 14.4% in AA, 14.3% in AAA so far. Again, it's a limited sample in AAA, but you know, this is 15 start sample size of just having a lot of notable concerns with this command, with this control. I mean, swing and strike rate is still solid, but it's dropped to 12.5% this year. You know, he's still a good arm. Like, I'm not out on Noah Schultz by any means. There's still a very talented arm, but you got to wonder, like, you know, the fastball, even though the velocity's solid, the shape isn't like super great on it. So you got to wonder, how does the fastball play at the major league level? Slider's really, really good. You know, changeup has shown at times, but still inconsistent offering. And now you got to factor in the command and control issues. It was like, you know, last year it was like, all right, he can still, you know, work on the fastball shape and work on developing the rest of the arsenal. But one thing we didn't have to worry about, at least we thought we didn't have to worry about, was the command and control. And now we really do. So that 14%, really, really discouraging this year. So he's, I don't know if he's a top 100 guy right now. He's in that range, and we'll see how the rankings fall in September. But we might be looking at Noah Schultz outside my top 100. You know, I can't do it. The higher walk rates, And yeah, you can correct those. You know, those can be corrected over time. But, and again, it hasn't been like an issue for Schultz forever. I mean, it's kind of like popped up this year. It wasn't here last year. But I just don't like these higher walk rate guys. I tend to shy away from them. And usually that serves me well. You know, sometimes it doesn't. But for the most part, more often than not, I'd say 80%+ of the time, it does work out. So, again, I'm not out on Noah Schultz. You know, I'm not even opposed to buying low, depending on the price tag. But I will say I am definitely concerned about Schultz and not sure if he's top 100 prospect anymore. The other guy, another lefty who I have bumped out of my top 100 right now, still in the top 125-ish range, is Quinn Matthews of the Cardinals. Again, last year was a huge breakout for Matthews in 143 in the third innings at a 2.76 ERA. You know, had a where was the WHIP last year? I lost my spot here. Last year, WHIP was 0.98. It was 8.6% walk rate and a 35.4% K rate. This year, still has a decent strikeout rate at 27%, but the walk rate is up to 16.9% this year. And yeah, most of his starts, I mean, he had a couple of rehab outings, which only totaled 5 innings down in complex and low A. So like 95% of his innings have come in AAA this year, which does have the ABS, obviously. But at the same time, you know, this is a 16.9% walk rate that we're talking about. It's not like if it was 11, 12%. Yeah, it's still high, but I wouldn't be like super concerned by it. I'm definitely pretty concerned about a 17% walk rate. You know, WHIP is up to 1.51 this year. You know, K rate still good, but that's down to kind of similar to Schultz, where K rates have gone down, walk rates have gone up. I don't know. I mean, the velocity is still there. I mean, he hasn't like kind of reverted back to the Matthews of a few years ago when he was throwing like 90-91. You know, velo, you know, not great, but still better than it was a couple years ago. But just that walk rate, super concerning. But still some good qualities here. He still has a, you know, decent strikeout rate, as I mentioned. Get some good ground balls as well. Near 50% ground ball rate this season. I do think he's going to be a major league starter. I'm just not as in on him as I used to be. You know, so both Quinn Matthews and Noah Schultz are falling right now. But one pitching prospect, definitely not falling. And again, there's a lot of young arms on the rise. I've talked about various ones through various podcasts, and I'll probably talk about more of them. You know, like Johnny King is a big riser. Esteban Mejia is a big riser. You know, you're on Watts Brown for me, who I saw a couple months ago. He's been a good riser. There's so many big risers right now. I could list off, you know, 30 of them, but Kendrick Churio here is another one of the Kansas City Royals in low A right now as a 17-year-old in low A. I mean, you see that sometimes with hitters. Not very often you see a 17-year-old pitcher in low A, and he's gotten kind of roughed up a little bit in those two outings. 7.2 innings, 8.22 ERA, but gotten a little bit unlucky there. It was like, give him a couple home runs, and that'll really inflate any ERA and WHIP over a short period of time. But overall, you know, this, it's only been 36 innings total, but he had a 2.04 ERA in 17 and two-thirds innings in the DSL, 2.45 ERA in 11 innings at the complex, and they pushed him again up the last two outings to low A. Churio won't even turn 18 until right after the season. October 1st, he turns 18. So it's been really, really exciting to see his emergence this year. It's a really good pitch mix, right now. Mid-90s fastball, he's been up as high as 97, 98. Really whippy arm, athletic delivery, but repeats it well. Really simplistic delivery, you know, really strong lower half too. Like you watch him, like this guy, he's not like the tallest guy in the world. I think what's he listed at? 6'1". So he's listed at 6 foot. He's in that, yeah, he's in that 6 foot, 6'1" range, but really strong legs, really strong core with Kendry Churio. And he has, you know, a couple of good off speed pitches as well. You know, he's got a mid-80s changeup, you know, good fade and sink on that. And, you know, upper 70s, low 80s breaker. With some solid, you know, swing and miss potential on that as well. And he's just, you know, very advanced for his age. You don't see many 17-year-olds that miss bats like this that also command and, you know, pound the zone as much as Churio does. You want to hear his strikeout to walk ratio right now, or the rates right now? 31.1% K rate, pretty damn good. It's a 1.4% walk rate. That is insane. He has 46 strikeouts to 2 walks. Quick math, that's a 23-1. That's not hard math, obviously. 23-1 strikeout to walk ratio. He's hit more guys than he's walked. He has 5 hit batters this year, but 46-2. That is absolutely insane. And below low A, it was 39-1, and then 7-1 so far in low A. So really high upside there with Churio. Him, Mejia, King, there's so many guys right now that are shooting up prospect rankings. But Churio, the one I'm talking about today, and he's a big, big up arrow guy and a guy that you should be going to get now, because I think you're going to see him really pop over the next year or two and become one of the best pitching prospects in all of baseball. All right, so gone through all the names I wanted to discuss in this episode. Let's close it out before I get out of here. Let's look at where the FYPD guys kind of fell on this update here. And I added a little column on my rankings so you can kind of filter by FYPD guys, make it a little bit easier to find them. So, again, not the best class. I mean, I like this class. There's definitely some talent, but at the top, like, there's no super elite stud that we've seen over the last few drafts. So I think this is the first time that I did not have my number one FYPD guy being in my top 25. My highest FYPD guy, my number one FYPD guy, Jojo Parker, I have at 32. Then I have Ethan Holliday and Eli Willits, also in my top 50. Cade Anderson, Seth Hernandez, Ethan Conrad in the 50s. The other guys in the top 100, Ike Irish at 69, Ivar Arquette at 75, Jamie Arnold at 79, Jace Lavallette at 89. He's a hard one to rank, but for now it's 89. Then guys in the rest of the guys in my top 150, Gavin Fien of the Rangers at 105, Liam Doyle at 108, Tyler Bremner at 119, Kaysan Witherspoon 133, Kaysan Cunningham at 138, and Andrew Fisher at 143. So how many names did I just list off? That is 16 guys in my top 150. I also have, let's see how many more. I have 10 more guys in my 200. So my top 26 FYPD guys all in my top 200 overall. I think that's a normal amount of top 100 guys, but again, just, you know, not as high up in the elite. But Parker, Willits, Holliday, they all have the upside to get up there, especially Holliday, who I talked about with Chris Walsh over on Prospect One. If that hit tool can, you know, be better than advertised, Holliday could absolutely jump up that high. Now, Keith Hernandez could be one of the top pitching prospects. And I mean, he already is. He's already a top 10 pitching prospect, but he could be like a top 3 or 4 pitching prospect by this time next year. Seth Hernandez has the highest upside of any arm in that class, in my opinion. He could easily be the next elite young pitching prospect to get up in that top tier. You know, love the bats on Conrad, on Ike Irish, Ava Arquette, you know, Lavallette, who knows, but he has the upside to be up there for sure. So we could see absolutely see some of these guys up in, you know, top 25, you know, within the next year or so. Even like a Cunningham has a lot of upside. Andrew Fisher, you know, Quinton Young, Summerhill, all these guys would absolutely jump. But so again, 10 guys in my top 100. Those being Jojo Parker, Ethan Holliday, Eli Willits, Cade Anderson, Seth Hernandez, Ethan Conrad, Ike Irish, Ava Arquette, and Jamie Arnold, and Jace Lavallette. And then Gavin Fien, Liam Doyle, Tyler Bremner, Kaysan Cunningham, and Kaysan Witherspoon and Kaysan Cunningham. Having them back to back is really messing with my brain right now. And then Andrew Fisher, who I love as well, in that top 150. So that's where the FYPD guys fall. Again, I have my top 100 of that out on my Patreon. We're updating that
Later on, probably sometime in September, October, I want to give it a little bit of time to see some of these guys in game action. Though we won't see a ton of them in, but definitely we'll see some, and you know, some in the Bridge League as well. But that is going to wrap up this episode. Again, one of my favorite prospect rankings updates of the season. We'll have the next prospect rankings out in about 2.5 weeks or so in the beginning part of September. And I'll be back with you again on Monday. But until then, everyone take care.